Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Cosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And, hey man, good to see you again in studio. Cheers.
Good to see you as always, Cosi.
Salute, my friend.
Good to be here with y'all listeners.
Yeah, man.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we don't usually tell y'all this, but like we're recording on a Saturday. We usually record on Wednesdays, but on a nice stormy Saturday evening for you guys. So
some tequilas might be flowing, maybe not.
Some, a couple, but no. It's great. It's great to be able to come out and do this. And yeah, we just wanted to hop on here and talk about a couple things, but specifically some kind of like a Marvel centric episode, because we're going to be looking at that Marvel sizzle reel and talking about some Agatha All Along. Is that right, Juan?
Yeah, so we'll break it down. We're going to do a trailer trash, kind of an alternate trailer trash again.
A little bit different, yeah.
It is a trailer, but more of a sizzle reel for various properties and products that are going to be appearing
on a bunch of them,
on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Specifically, it's more of a Disney Plus sizzle reel than an MCU sizzle reel specifically.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do a review of Agatha All Along, do the full series. It just ended this week. So we'll give you guys our insight into what that looks like and what our thoughts on it are. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and get started with the old trailer trash.
Trailer trash.
All right, Cosi, let's jump in here.
All right. So just some cool little like backstory on this. So the way this was actually discovered by the internet was actually through an episode of Agatha All Along. Episode one of Agatha All Along, there was a thing where, I think as of a couple days ago, if you go back and watched episode one of Agatha All Along, this minute and a half sizzle reel would show. And it's kind of like, I guess it wasn't planned. It must have been like a glitch, but like, pretty cool little mini marketing for Marvel, and then they decided after that just to post it in its entirety online after that little leak, quote unquote leak on there. But yeah, it showed stuff for a bunch of different shows. Let me see if I can get like a little list of the shows here. Real quick, so it showed snippets for Daredevil coming next year. Showed a little snippet also for What If Season 2 coming this year.
Season 3,
coming this year, which I'm really excited for. And a couple animated shows, Eyes of Wakanda, and also Marvel Zombies is another show is coming. As well as a live action show called Ironheart based on on Riri Williams from Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And then, really cool, a little animated Spider-Man show, which, you know, I have a little bit of a backstory on that too, but like, yeah, just to see that on the slate too. Like
Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man,
yeah, they're really, it's definitely a shotgun blast. Oh, and of course, last but not least, Wonder Man is the one worth, I think we know least about. It has Yahya Dumateen.
Wonder Man, and they actually teased that Daredevil versus Wolverine is coming to Disney Plus.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Yeah, Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah, finally easy coming.
To get confused on those.
Yeah, well, the biggest movie of the year. Yeah, coming to Disney Plus. Yeah, it's a cool
only movie of the year for Disney, really.
Yeah, and it was a gigantic hit, so it made sense that like it's going to be available for all Disney Plus subscribers coming up. So yeah, it's really cool to see all those. You know, again, it was a sizzle reel. Not much. It's a minute and a half. To showcase like six different shows. But what did you think? Like, was there one image or a set of images that stood out to you?
So going through them, they weren't all equal, first of all.
Right.
Ironheart in particular seemed to get a little more of a run. We seemed to get a first look at the villain.
Yeah, the villain played by Anthony Ramos.
Anthony Ramos was Navi from In the Heights.
Yeah, he's actually playing a character called The Hood. This show is going to be kind of like Riri Williams' technology against his magic and how they kind of like
is he
clash.
A magician? Is that the thing?
Yeah, he's basically he's an ally of Riri Williams, so a friend of hers at first, and he just dons this hood that allows him to tap into like dark arts, magic, and whatnot. So like it's kind of like a friend.
Did they give
foe.
Any of that from the trailer, or is that something you?
Not at all. It's just what I'm reading from my little breakdowns, but just in that little snippet, you know, it didn't really give that off.
Yeah, it didn't give off much. It just gave off some pretty generic lines from him about, oh, how if you want to do great things, you have to break some eggs in an omelet. I don't know, some cliche
stuff. Yeah, just like some villain stuff. But I do enjoy her new suit. Wasn't filmed the Wakanda Forever suit. Yes, her Mark One first suit, but this new white one that she's been cooking up in a lab, I do like it, and it looks a lot better, like visual and CGI wise. So. Yeah,
it does look pretty cool, the suit. We'll see how it goes. I always thought I didn't love her character in Wakanda Forever, to be honest. Mm. It just felt like, I don't know, it just felt weird that we went from Tony Stark being a billionaire, super genius MIT engineer building a robot after following up on his dad's, you know, business empire of building weapons, you know, and then this girl in a garage just builds a better Iron Man suit.
Tony Stark did build it in a cave with a bunch of scraps. Yeah,
but that was the crappy Mark One that could barely move.
And I think she had a crappy Mark One too, I'd say.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it seemed like they were implying her current first suit was superior to Iron Man's final suit.
It's definitely a stretch to think that like a college student can create like this incredible suit.
Yeah, random college student. Yeah. Well, her dad has a little bit of money, but come on, where is she getting the freaking ability to power that thing?
Yeah, I definitely could see that, and they tried. They did, you know, they could have done a little bit better, but they did try to just mention, hey, she's been like, people have been able to scrap like old Chitauri tech and whatnot and put it together and stuff. So they're trying to like imply that, but
we'll see if they do a better job. It just feels like shows
we'll get a better look at that.
I don't know. I hate when comics do this in general, but it's like, we had this established genius character, Tony Stark. Oh, this new character just casually makes Tony Stark look like a punk.
Yeah, there's like another smarter person after this.
It kind of made sense with Shuri?
Shuri, definitely.
Because she was working with technology far above his capabilities. Right. So it kind of made sense why she was on the next level. But it's like, okay, it's some random college student.
If I'm not mistaken, I do believe what Miss... Well, she did get help later with it, so I think that's what they're implying. Hey, the Wakandans kind of gave Shuri a little bit of a boost in Wakanda Forever as well, so I think...
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it makes sense why Shuri does doing crazy stuff, because she's gotten to work with pretty much magical materials from day one. Yeah. But yeah, no, I didn't love it. It's like, we don't need to shit on Tony Stark to validate new characters.
No, I understand that. Yeah, but I guess keeping on that Wakanda trajectory, the Eyes of Wakanda, another one, they kind of showed us a couple images about that. Again, going by
more
that,
of
we don't
a glimpse than
little, anything. Little bit of a glimpse. I could just read a little bit of just about what it'll be about. It's going to follow just Wakandan warriors who have to go around the world just retrieving artifacts, like Wakanda artifacts. Remember in the first Black Panther, where like Killmonger was he was saying, "Hey, you know where you got that spear from? Well, we're going to figure out like, hey, where did that spear come from and all that." So it's kind of cool. Like I thought it was going to be about us following different Black Panthers throughout history, but I honestly do not mind this breakdown and this show, especially with that kind of
the whole
animation.
Thing is just going to be them taking stuff from the British Museum.
Yeah, like every episode ends with like, "Oh, come on, British people, stop doing this.
Stop taking our stuff, British people.
Please stop doing this." But no, it's really cool. Like, definitely the team behind obviously Black Panther and all that is definitely going to be working on this. Developed by Ryan Coogler himself. He himself developed this series.
That makes me more hyped than movie.
So yeah, like it looks really good. And also these different animation styles. Like not everything has to be like show What If. And I like it. It definitely looks different from what we've seen, and I like that a lot. With this Eyes Wakanda show.
Speaking of different animation styles, again, we really don't get a lot of view here. But the first sneak peek we get of My Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
It almost looks like you're watching a moving watercolor.
Yeah, I guess so. Going into that, the next kind of part of the sizzle reel, they showed us a little bit of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which is the origin story of Spider-Man and whatnot.
He looks like an actual kid.
An actual high school 15-year-old kid in here. So the crazy thing about that one is that this show has been in development like for a while now. They kind of even showed this, I think 2 years ago, in a previous sizzle reel. They showed for upcoming Marvel stuff. This is back when Agatha All Along was called House of Harkness. Well, they showed this in sizzle reel and they called it Spider-Man Freshman Year. And it was seemingly going to be about the origin story of the Tom Holland Spider-Man that we've seen. But, you know, they've since changed and, like, done a lot of stuff different now. And now we're going into, like, this new one. We're going to talk about just the origins of this new Spider-Man persona in an alternate reality. So, in this one, Norman Osborn is his mentor instead of Tony Stark in this iteration.
Is he also black?
Norman Osborn is... He's black, actually. He's going to be voiced by... let's see here.
He actually is going to be voiced by a black man.
Coleman Domingo, incredible actor, great voice, by the way. Coleman Domingo, yeah.
What playing. Else did he do?
He was in Candyman. He was also in this movie called Zola. If you haven't seen Zola. He's also been in Euphoria, where he won award for. So yeah, he's been in a lot of great stuff. Color Purple. He's amazing actor. So. Love him.
It's good to hear you. Cozy call, Norman Osborn being black.
And then Marvel heard us and then cast him in this. But yeah, the animation, I'd say this, it kind of reminds me of those old, remember that old Spider-Man 2005 game? Like the cutscenes from that? Like, it looks like, again, I don't like this, but I like they're doing this. After Spider-Verse, everyone's trying to like search to make that next leap in animation, and I love how it kind of inspired just different people to make stuff. Like, we got that Turtles movie that came out that had crazy animation. Now we had like the Wild Robot, like stuff like that, where they're pushing it. This one kind of seems almost like kind of tame. Again, I'm still gonna watch it, but the animation, it didn't really stick out to me as much.
Really? I thought
gotta
rewatch it, but just something about the art style. It just really felt like a moving watercolor painting. That's the best way I can describe it.
I definitely see what you mean in that. Like a moving picture comic panel.
Yeah. And I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. I've seen it in video games more often, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Big one, actually, that kind of had a little bit of that aesthetic was a game called Okami.
Okami?
With this wolf.
Okami.
Is that a... It's a video game. It's a pretty old school video game at this point. It's kind of like a wolf. That's looks like it's in a watercolor painting.
Okay, I see. I see that.
From Japan.
Yeah, it was a kind
of part of the game includes the wolf having like paint like powers to influence the world.
Okay, that's cool.
It's like an art piece as well as a fun game. But I don't know. I love that type of style. Like, if you've ever played the PS Spider-Mans, PlayStation Spider-Mans,
mm-hmm.
they have some suits that kind of have that same, like, cartoonish, highly cel-shaded type look.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Let me go and actually look at that. The 2005 Spider-Man game, the one I was referencing, or it's a different one?
The recent one.
In Spider-Man...
And some that they have a couple comic book costumes, like the suits. You know, you can get different suits in that game.
Yeah, I was also thinking about across Spider-Verse. They had like different iterations of Spider-Man where it looked like he had like little speckled like marks on him, like he was ripped out of a. Let me see if I could find it.
It's more like old newspaper comics.
Yeah, like that art style. Yeah, man. But no, I'm looking forward to this.
I thought it was. I mean, we don't really see much, but Spider-Man's always fun, and I found the art style striking. We'll see if they pull it off for a full show. But so far, I'm actually really digging the fact that people are taking these risks in animation.
Yeah, me too.
We Pixar took over the game. We have all the 3D animated stuff, Shrek, where it looks kind of like. Lifelike 3D is not really stylized that much. Maybe Pixar have a little weird shaped characters and stuff, but Into the Spider-Verse, Puss in Boots, Wild Puss Robot. Puss in Boots
was one I was actually thinking of too. I just couldn't remember
Wild Robot. Yeah. Even a movie like Wolf Watchers. What was that? Wolf something. Won an Oscar.
Right? Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I can't.
Something with wolves.
Yep. Yep, I know what you're talking about.
It was a really like Scottish, or was it Irish or Scottish?
I think it was a Scottish film, quite frankly, yeah.
Yeah, really striking animation styles, right? It's not like old school 2D painted, you know, anime or Disney princess style. It's very unique.
Yeah, definitely unique to it. Yeah, yeah.
They're using the power of computers to, you know, come up with something that, you know, people wouldn't have been able to do before.
Or they're definitely drawing these tapestries over, like, and having a computer kind of fill in the blanks and finish the rest of it. Like, you still are able to see, like, the the hand drawnness, if that's what they call it, come through. So yeah, I definitely like that. Definitely looking forward to your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and that comes out next year. I'm actually coming up. Actually, it's gonna come out debut January 29th of 2025. So looking right, forward to that.
A little bit sooner on the list is What If Season 3.
Yeah, yeah, that's December. So that's like in December 22nd. So Season 3
of What If. Soon. I mean, it really felt like What If Season 2 came out not that long ago.
Well, it came out December of last year. So, December of last year. So, yeah.
I guess shows coming out within 1 year of each other feels shocking now.
Yeah, because we're just inundated
We're just used to shows taking like 2 years plus to come out at this point.
They develop it, yeah. But the good thing about What If is like it's animation. So, like, for years they've been, you know, kind of had this in the lab cooking up. Kind of like Invincible, how, like, you know, hopefully they won't make us wait too long for that. But, like, they like keep working on, like, new episodes in as we wait. So, yeah, I'm glad we don't have to wait too long for this third season. Gave us a couple of glimpses of what to expect. I think we saw, like, I think that was Shang-Chi in a cowboy hat, I think.
Cowboy-type scene.
Like a Western, which seemed kind of cool.
Not a lot. I mean, at this point, we kind of know what to expect. You get a lot of seemingly unrelated shorts, individual episodes.
Which I love.
Yeah. Of twists, or even sometimes unique characters, mm-hmm. like the Native American character out in season two. And then towards the end, it kind of brings it all together.
I kind of actually liked how they told a bunch of anthology different stories that didn't even connect. I kind of wanted them to just keep doing that, but in season two they kind of had. I definitely saw like they wanted to tell.
I kind of like
a story
that they kind of like that you can watch each episode as an anthology without it being related.
Correct. Yes.
But that at the end they said, okay, let's try to bring it together.
Right.
Right. Right. Like you don't have like it's not clear watching it through that there is going to be a link, that there are going to be obvious hookups or obvious meetings. Right, it really does seem like it's each of them are going to be their own things for most of the season.
Right, right.
But I feel like those finales where they do bring it together,
they shine. Yeah, yeah.
It just feels like it adds a little more stakes. In some of the episodes, like the whole concept is fun, but the episodes can feel uneven.
Yeah, you do run the risk of that. Where like, if it basically like with the anthology, the risk is if there is an anthology episode that isn't as strong as the other ones, it's definitely glaring. It's like, okay, why do we have this random one that isn't as good? Like you run that risk.
Like good comparison is Love, Death, and Robots.
Love, Death, and the Robots is Netflix. An amazing anthology series.
But frankly, that it's just at a higher level, right?
You know what? Yeah, yeah
it's just done at a higher level. So those do have weaker ones as well, but the strong ones are so thought provoking. The strong ones in Marvel, they're fun, but they're not going to leave you, you know, thinking about the. It's just like, oh, well, here's this fun twist on a Marvel story. It's not like a good Love, Death, and Robots. If you remember the one where the guy got stuck in a warp drive and got shipped to a planet like, you know, light years away. Okay, and then some the living being there, some kind of weird spider being, try to actually make him feel at home and try to make him feel not so bad. And then it's like, whoops. That shit was horrifying. Yeah. That shit stuck with me for a long time.
It went from horrifying to like where it had like kind of a message about our military. The one I remember was the one about those military guys that they were like also wolves. Like they were used by the military to like hunt
the werewolves.
Yeah, like it kind of
that was a good one.
Yeah, they have like stuff to say. Both it was a really cool horror esque episode, but it had something to say about our military, how we treat our soldiers.
They have a message.
Oh yeah,
they're thought provoking.
Definitely,
What If is more fun than thought provoking.
Which it's doing its job.
That's fine, feel like that's where having those interconnected finales adds a little more meaning, so to speak. I don't know if meaning is the right word, but it feel like even the not so good ones were at least worth seeing what happened.
Right.
You're not getting some thought provoking, like, oh wow, I'm gonna have to go think about what happened in this episode. But you're also, you know, some of the forgettable ones, you still okay. Now you have the guys link up, so now they mean something.
Right. No, I get what you mean.
Yeah, I think it adds a little bit. It's not as good as Love, Death, and Robots, but it's still it's been a fun series.
Yeah, I've loved the What If series, so definitely looking forward to season 3.
Like the one with Hela, with
when her Hela and Ten Rings. Yeah,
Luke
that was great.
Kang, not Luke Kang.
The Ten Rings.
The Ten Rings guy. I forgot his name.
The Mandarin. The Mandarin.
Yeah, the real Mandarin.
The real Mandarin.
Oh, the guy that does not actually call himself the Mandarin.
Not Trevor Slattery, not you. We'll get to you in a second.
Because he's in this, isn't he?
Well, he's in another show we're going to get to. But,
okay, so what's next before we get to that one?
Marvel Zombies.
Let's do that one first.
Just a little bit, again, because we kind of like Eyes of Wakanda, we kind of got like a little bit of like
It looks like Land of the Living Dead, but zombies. I should say, sorry.
Yeah, they definitely touched on it in the What If season 2. There was an episode like about that one with
zombies. They had a zombie.
Yep.
I wonder if it's just going to be an extension of that. I don't know how you make a whole episode series out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, so
for me,
before you go on, it's just to answer your question, it does continue from the events of What If. So yeah, it's gonna just continue from just what they established
that's
there.
Weird, and it's gonna be
a whole series, a mini series. It says
mini series better mean 3 episodes. I don't know.
Probably 6, like kind of Agatha All Along. So like a 6 or well, no, I'm sorry. Concerned. They said 4. So it'll be 4 episodes.
That makes me feel better.
So a two hour movie cut up into four pieces.
About two and a half hour movie, yep. I guess. I can see how that might work. Yeah. I was saying a second ago. I mean, for me, I don't know about you, Cozy, but zombie stuff is a little played out.
It kind of reminds me of how everyone was so enamored with vampires back in the late 2009, 2010s.
Yeah, but even vampires too. Like, you don't really see vampire stuff much anymore.
But you definitely still see zombies because it's sustaining. But
do you, other than Last of Us, and that felt more like...
The Walking Dead is kind of like teetered off.
Walking Dead is pretty much dead, bro. Yeah.
No pun intended.
I think, they still come out with stuff, but when was the last time you heard somebody seriously talking about what was going on with The Walking Dead?
There are more spin-offs with The Walking Dead than like The Walking Dead itself.
And I think they're gonna like bring Rick Grimes back.
They gave Daryl a show within some other lady show.
I think they were giving Carol a show.
No. So Carol has a show, but now Daryl has a show inside Carol's show.
This show needed to end close to 10 years ago. This shit was popular when we were close to college, man. I think this was popular when we were in college.
Spoiler alert to everybody for a 10-year-old episode. Yeah, I just stopped watching when they killed Glenn. I'm like, you know what? I'm out of here, bro.
The comedian killed Glenn?
Yeah. I stopped.
I stopped watching before that. I stopped when they were about to introduce a comedian. I was going to, and then I just kind of...
Oh, I'm sorry. Whatever. His name is Negan. His name is Negan, guys.
Negan, not the actor who played
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is amazing.
Yeah, the actor who played the comedian. Sorry, inside joke. Whenever we refer to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, we just say the comedian.
Solid joke.
That was his first big role. And he killed it in that role. You know what else? He fucking killed it
in Watchmen.
Oh yeah. One of the best parts of that movie.
He was a despicable guy, but the way it was portrayed was like you kind of almost like felt for him.
He's a despicable guy. Felt for him at times. Kind of relate to.
Yeah, like in the big. Oh man, that opening sequence when he's like fighting that intruder.
Ozymandias.
Another spoiler for a 15-year-old movie. Yeah, Ozymandias.
For a 30-year-old book.
Yeah, but like that was an incredible fight, and like how like you know he was you see he was already
to the tune of unforgettable.
No, he's watching an infomercial that's playing this. He's just flipping through because he's so just disheveled and just through with life and just beaten down, and then just. I know we're getting into Watchmen talk, but it's such a great movie. But like he's just so like. Oh, someone's coming to kill me? All right, cool. Whatever.
Somehow we jump from Marvel Zombies to...
to Watchmen.
To Watchmen.
You know,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is a treasure.
He's the through line to
killed
all this.
Killed it in The Boys as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Hey, for all you Supernatural fans out there, killed it in that, too. So, like, he's a great actor. So, you know, love having him. But, you know, back to Marvel Zombies. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. Are you? I'm excited for this, just based on what I saw.
I'm honestly not, to be blunt. It could be fun, but I don't see what kind of creative spin Marvel's gonna put on zombies. Zombies plus superheroes doesn't do it for me. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. Personally, it's kind of cool to see, like, okay, like,
I will say
heroes
the zombie episode of What If wasn't bad.
Yeah, it showed us, like, okay, how would these different... It gave us, like, different team-ups I never thought I'd see.
Also, I do appreciate a little funny thing, but I do appreciate how they just say zombies. So many shows these days go out of their way to be like, oh, it's not zombies.
The undead.
It's walkers.
Walkers.
These mushroom people zombie
things. Infected, yeah.
The infected, yeah. Or...
From Last of Us, yeah.
You know, whatever else, or like they're or vampires, or you know what I mean? They go out of their way to be like, oh no, these aren't just, you know, rotting flesh zombies. Like
Whatever the things were in World War Z, or whatever the hell the things were in...
They come up
with... Yeah. 28 Days Later, yeah.
Yeah, they come up with all kinds of different names. It's like, no, these are zombies. We're going to be outright with it. It's called Marvel Zombies. We're showing you the dead corpses right on the cover. It's we're being clear with what this is.
Yeah.
Some Plants vs. Zombie shit. And then I think the last one.
Well, the last two. We'll talk about Wonder Man because they didn't really show much.
Let's do Wonder Man last. What was the other one?
Well, Daredevil. I think we should do that one last. Oh, we have a lot to say. So Wonder Man, just real quick, because it honestly just showed us a couple things. We don't even know much about. I don't know much about the character anyway.
It doesn't look like an actual Marvel show.
Yeah.
Like MCU show.
It looks almost like a meta, almost like, hey, here's an actor and trying to make it in Hollywood, so that's kind of cool. It stars, Abdul Mateen is in it.
Disaster artist.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, almost like mockumentary. It's hit. So Yahya Abdul Mateen, you've seen him in like movies like Aquaman. He was
Morpheus.
He was Morpheus in the new Matrix. He was also in Aquaman as Black Manta. He was in Jordan Peele's Us in a little bit role. He's a great actor. And Ben Kingsley returning as Travis Slattery. He was the quote-unquote,
the Mandarin.
Original Mandarin.
The fake Mandarin.
Yeah, the fake Mandarin, basically, the actor. So, yeah, it's going to be, I guess, about these two actors that are just trying to... Again, we don't know anything about this show. We know that Dessel Danny Cretton, the guy that did...
Sure Ben Kingsley was the actor or, like, an agent or a
friend. No, he's straight up Trevor.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's directed by Dessel Danny Cretton, who did Shang-Chi.
Wait, so this is in-universe?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's about, like, Wonder Man's an actual... So, just real quick, the character of Wonder Man, he's a super-powered man. An actor, of course. Again, I've never heard of him. He has superhuman strength, speed, agility. Again, his whole shtick that he's an actor, and, like, he's part of the West Coast Avengers, joins them eventually. So, yeah. It's cool that we're going to get a new character. A whole lot of Phase 4 was us introducing us to new characters, so you know, I like the actor that they got to play him. That's what got me interested in this whole show. But yeah, we don't know much, so yeah, it's coming next year. It's the last of this string of releases. It's going to come Christmas of next year. So I guess by then they're going to give us some more insight on that. But
it looks like it's the most artistically creative show.
Yeah, it looks like the biggest swing they're going to go for. So I like they're going to save it for last for next year. You know, finally, we're going to go into the big one. Again, they showed us some clips of this, not a lot, but just I'm excited for this the most out of all of them is Daredevil Born Again coming to Disney Plus, the continuation of the Netflix show. The whole team's coming back for the most part in terms of like Daredevil, Foggy, Kingpin, everybody. Even they got Vanessa back. So what do you think? They brought the band back together. What do you think just by what you saw on the sizzle reel for Daredevil Born Again?
I don't know, man. I think it's a little on the nose when the first line they say is, it's been a long time.
Kingpin with the metal line. They got the metal line in there. No.
Yeah, no, I guess they had to do it. What was the other show they did a metal line for recently? I can't remember.
It's become a thing. I think famously Marvel did it when they swapped out Terrence Howard for just another.
Yeah, but that was
for another guy.
That was hilarious. That's a meta line in retrospect.
He's like, yeah, I'm here. Next get over time, it. Maybe. Yeah. No, I'm talking about like Don Cheadle's line in the second one where he showed up and it was him. Like, hey, it's me. I'm here. Get over it. I like how they just swapped out just another black guy. The same one, according to Ike Perlmutter at the time. He thought that was just the same exact black guy.
No, I know what you're talking about now. That's pretty funny. No, look, they did bring back the gang together. At least most of them. They don't seem to have brought back Karen and Foggy.
No, they are. Karen and Foggy are in this.
Oh, they did?
Yep, Karen and Foggy are in this. They brought back Vanessa, his love interest. Yeah, they famously brought back the Punisher.
Wild enough, they brought back the suit after their first introduction of Daredevil into the MCU. had him wear the cookie.
Yeah, like his OG, his yellow and red suit, which I'm not a fan of.
It wasn't
of,
even yellow and red. It was like yellow and green, wasn't it?
No, it was yellow and red. Yeah, it's a yellow and red suit. Not a fan of that suit, but, you know. Goofy. Yeah, it's his OG suit, so.
The red leather looks a lot better.
You know what's crazy? I'm going to actually, I will show you a picture of this, and I'll just have to, you guys at home have to use your imagination. So Batman, do you know what Batman's original suit looked like?
Did he actually look like a bat?
Well, like kind of. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find it. No, it's like it was when Batman first came out, the artist, it looked like that. Thank you. Let me see if we can see this right here. That's what it looked like originally.
Wow, it's red.
With that red. Yeah, the red with the black. The black cowl apparently was, the black cowl over the head has always been there, but it was like red and like yellow with like little purple trimmings almost. Yeah, that was the OG. So I think like even with Batman, had a crazy OG suit that we're not used to. I prefer Daredevil's like red, classic red and black with black trimming suit, so they definitely brought that back for this.
We've talked about it on here. Marvel's done a bit of a better job recently, but most of the comic accurate suits look... Most of the suits in the comic books would look really stupid.
Yeah, not everything translates as well as you think.
I mean, most of them translate extremely poorly.
You know what they got incredibly well, I think? I think they got Wolverine's suit, this one we saw this year. They got
they that did a better job strikingly than I thought. Well. But I was frankly, if we're being honest, they did a great job by not really making it Wolverine's suit other than just the silhouette or colors. Right. Like in the comics and in the TV show, it never felt like he was wearing, you know, like a combat suit with metal. You know,
oh, right. I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
With a metal helmet with big edges on the side of his head. You know what I mean? It looked like it was just like a big part of his head.
Right.
It looked like spandex, right? Right.
And this one, they made it like a hood that like went up, which was a great idea. I like it. Again, translation over.
They did a great job of making it look cool.
Yeah.
You know, the best example in WandaVision was a good example where they did that Halloween episode with kids and stuff.
Yeah, show their OG ones.
They showed actual comic accurate.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch and Vision suits. Yeah.
Suits, and they look goofy, right?
Yeah, he was like in like goofy shorts. Yeah.
Yeah, but then at the end, they show, okay, we're going to take obvious inspiration from the suit, but make it this cool
build upon
metallic or hard leather looking suit, deep reds. So you now have Wanda in the suit, but it looks like something modern and cool, not something goofy from a comic book.
Yeah, they modernized, they made it look tactical, but also something you can still recognize as being that character.
I like how they're going with that, where they're actually paying true homage. They're not just saying, okay, this looks too goofy to do anything with. But they're not just recreating the suit on screen in a way that would look goofy.
Yeah, and it's going back to Daredevil. I think what's cool about the show is like they're definitely honoring that all that stuff, making it like taking the comic to this new iteration on Disney Plus. But also just the story, like where we just last left him, like Kingpin is like seemingly going to run for some kind of political office, and like he's going to be like in the public eye, and now Matt Murdock is going to cross paths with him, and their whole thing. They have a history that they're going to reference here in the show. So, and then you have the Punisher. So I'm really, really excited for what they're going to do with this show. The fact that it's coming back, being a continuation of what Netflix so just expertly started off.
I'm very curious if it's going to be kind of like a reboot. If they're going to say, okay, we're going to pretend like these are all the same characters and we're kind of already established. Mm. And, you know, we're not going to actually follow any of the canon or any of the story, but we're just, you obviously know who the characters are, so we're just going to start up from there.
Right. For what I'm understanding, they're definitely going to have that history from the Netflix shows. They're not going to just be straight up saying, hey, remember back when we did this? But it's like, no,
it's understood. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. It won't, they, and the showrunners know this, but they're not going to take away the history of these characters that we've seen, which I like.
It's a very tricky line to balance because it feels like the kind of thing that, oh, I'm going to go back and watch the old episodes to catch up for it. And it feels like maybe you should watch like season one to reestablish who the characters are. Maybe even season two so you remember who the Punisher is. But it doesn't really seem like... Yeah, like you said, they're not going to be like, oh, remember when we beat the we joined up as the Defenders and we were hooked, like...
Which I like. They're not beholden to all that stuff. Like, they're not like straight up like have to, but we all know. It's like, hey, everyone here knows what's going on. So I appreciate that. But yeah, looking forward to that.
That's the sizzle reel for Marvel.
They blessed us with that one this week. And then, yeah, we're going
to... And then Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Yeah.
Coming to this Disney Plus.
Yeah, in December, yeah.
Heard both our thoughts on that movie.
Yeah. I like this. I like what they have in store coming up in 2025, just on the Disney Plus scale. So yeah, I'm excited.
That's interesting. Nothing big, nothing heavy. Other than I guess their Deadpool would probably be the.
And that's more just an announcement that it's going to be available on Disney Plus. But I say Daredevil would be like the. I say the biggest. But
that's the linchpin there.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the one. Where it feels like they're aiming for something big as opposed to the other ones, kind of quirky, interesting shows.
Right.
Okay, so moving forward, it's going to stick on that Marvel...
Disney Plus side.
Disney Plus train and review the recently just finished series of Agatha All Along.
It was Agatha... All Along.
It was Agatha.
Dude.
It was a great song.
Like, yeah, going back, like 3 years ago, that was such a banger, right? That song, that was everywhere. Agatha just, you know, removing the mask, Scooby-Doo style from herself, saying, hey, I've been the one that's been messing with you, Wanda. And, like, ever since then, we've just been, like, I personally just been, like, enamored with the character and wanted to see what she did next. And the fact that she got a show, when they first announced it, I actually wasn't surprised. A lot of folks were like, well, like, why are you going to do that? I'm like, I get it. She was a highlight of WandaVision, which I think is Marvel's... Well, we'll get into it. I still think it's Marvel's best show so far, but after that, like, she exploded onto the scene with that, and, you know, having a show like that follows her and what's going on with her and her exploits after WandaVision, after Wanda kind of, like, put her in a freezer, basically, like with a magical spell to keep her locked in Westview, and just how she got out of that, and all this stuff, like with the witch's road, and this whole thing was like really, really cool to see. So, just what are your initial thoughts on the series as a whole now that we've watched all nine episodes?
All right, so basic flow of the story is. That's pretty funny. Like, for episode one is a direct homage to WandaVision.
Yeah, they kind of were poking fun of popular TV shows, and this one kind of went the...
We leave off on WandaVision, a little recap. At the end, you know, Wanda fully discovers the strength of her powers. Mm-hmm. She defeats Agatha, and then she basically curses Agatha. She had locked down the whole... town of what was it, Westview.
Mm-hmm.
Westview into the sitcom type world that Wanda was controlling, and she basically stuck Agatha into that world and locked her in and convinced her that she was still living in that sitcom.
She unstuck everyone else, but just stuck Agatha in there. So everyone around her was living a normal life, but Agatha was like trapped
in that. More importantly, like Agatha. Truly believed it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she wasn't trapped in a magic world like everybody else had been, where they were forced to play out this stuff, even though they were aware that they were, you know, that they weren't actually in the movie.
Yeah. It was so strong that she believed that,
Agatha was not aware of reality. She thought she was in this show.
Yeah.
So we open with,
I want to say, going back to episode one with that, I love how they definitely paid homage to WandaVision by making fun of shows. This was a direct rip, not a rip, but an homage to the mayor of Easttown.
I'm about to say that same shit. Stole the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, no, it's clearly a rip off of Mayor of Easttown. Great show, by the way, if you haven't watched it. but clearly, you know, tough old lady cop.
With a funny single, accent.
Yeah, with a funny accent, single, beats people up, doesn't take shit from anybody.
Always investigating a murder that's in a creek or a body of water. It's like straight up shots from the show they were able to like recreate. Yeah. It's great.
It's not perfect. It doesn't quite toe the line. So it tries to be kind of a parody of the show as opposed to just a straight up send up of it, right?
I think there's a reason behind that, but I'll get to that in a second.
And there's a certain point where there has to be a fine line where, you're making fun of it, but it's funny. Like, you're a little over the top where it's like, still recognizable but funny. Mm-hmm. Think, like, Scary Movie 1 or 2.
Yep.
Or maybe Scream is a good one, the first Scream. Mm-hmm. This felt a little, like, it tipped over where, like, it like took some of the writing too earnestly to where it just felt like a bad lady cop show. As opposed to like a good parody of one.
And I think we're going to go full spoilers with this because the show's out. I think because unlike with WandaVision, which were like what we're seeing were manifestations of Wanda's hex powers, we're seeing that these are manifestations of Billy's hex powers. So they're not as polished, not as refined as his mom's would be.
It's still Wanda. It's Wanda that put it in her mind.
No, I mean like... What we're seeing here, from what I'm understanding, from what I'm understanding, everything we've seen, even episode one, has been a machination of Billy.
No, in episode one, we're actually seeing the inside of Agatha's mind.
That's still Wanda's? Okay.
No, we're actually just seeing what's in Agatha's mind. They actually showed later on, I think like in episode 6 or 7, that what Catherine Hahn is seeing, that what Agatha is seeing live, what she thinks is happening, where she thinks she has suspects in a jail cell and stuff, none of that's really happening.
Yeah, I got that part. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's just in her mind. She's so into the vision that she's visualizing this stuff happening.
Okay. But like the Witch's Road and stuff were machinations of Billy's, but not episode one.
So following, I guess, like, let's continue through the plot a little bit, give it a quick overview. So after she gets broken out of that spell by
Billy.
It's Billy. We'll call him teenager. Basically, it's Wanda's son. They don't really tell you at the beginning. It's like they started off as a mystery box where he actually has something blocking.
Yeah, a sigil or a spell.
They call it a sigil. Like, he's not allowed to say his name, or other people don't understand him when he says his name. So it's kind of a mystery who he is, where he comes from, what he wants with Agatha. But the big thing is he says he wants to go on the road. Now, the road is apparently this mystical place we go on. We're told to go on where if you complete it, you complete a coven of witches, like several witches come together. And they sing the song, and if they complete it,
they get whatever they want.
They get like a wish, basically. Yeah. You get to make a wish.
A wish road, yeah.
And the teen wants to go on there to be able to make a wish. And Agatha says, okay, sure, yeah, I'll take you on this. Right, and she actually needs to because she's lost all her power. She's no longer this big, powerful witch. Part of what Wanda did was take away all her magic power. And this other witch comes that clearly has a history with Agatha, Aubrey Plaza, who we find out later on is actually Death.
The embodiment of Death.
Is actually the witch Death, the embodiment of Death. First, we don't know, but she's clearly after Agatha, and they clearly have a big history. And then basically Agatha wants to go on the road. It's stated she wants to go on the road so she can get power again, so she can, you know, fight. She convinces Death basically, like, hey, wait for me to get my power back so we can have a proper fight for my life. Don't just kill me now. You can easily kill me now if you want to.
I want to say, though, add to that, because in true Agatha fashion still, the witches she's trying to recruit, they know how she rolls. Agatha's the kind of witch where if you attack her, she takes your power and like kills you. So like
that's her special power.
Yeah, she's already like on like a deficit trying to like get people to go on this road.
She like sucks up people's powers when they attack her. Yeah. She wants people to attack her.
Yeah.
So she recruits this coven with the teen with Billy to try to get on the road. And they sing this really cool song, actually. One of the best parts of the show.
Yeah, it's really catchy. Yeah,
it's called The Witch's Road. Y'all should look it up. I think it's on Spotify, Apple Music, all this
definitely
stuff.
Definitely on Spotify.
Very catchy. They sing it a couple times. It's actually a big plot point.
And even even each episode is like, the episode titles are lyrics of the actual song. Like, you can follow it like from beginning to end.
Yeah, the actual song is meant to be like, not just like a way to open it, but also kind of how you solved the road.
Exactly.
Tell the whole story of it. So all these witches, they managed, you know, it's kind of failed witches or witches with problems, witches down on their luck. They decide to come together for one last job. Now, they all know who Agatha is, and they all know she's a witch killer.
Yeah. They're like, hell no, we're not going to join you.
And again, they're like, some of them don't have powers. Some of them have, like, become frauds. One of them pretends to be a fortune teller, and then it turns out she actually had the ability to see the future, but she's just there's another character that's like that from Harry Potter. The fortune teller from Harry Potter is like that.
Okay, yeah,
mostly a fraud, but every once in a while has real visions. So it's kind of a little bit similar. But yeah, so all these witches come together, and then they get on the road. Turns out
the road's real.
Big spoiler for the show. For the last episode of the show, the road actually was a made-up invention by Agatha.
Yeah.
The song was something she made up with her kid hundreds of years ago, which lived for hundreds of years.
A little scratch in her made up the song.
In this timeline, in this world building, they could live for hundreds of years. So basically, she made up the song with her kid, and some witches started believing that she was actually talking about a magical road.
Yeah, she like lured them.
She became famous for being the only person that was known to have crossed the road.
Yeah, quote unquote, like actually finished it, but like we all know the history. We all know like the truth.
We didn't
behind
actually.
That.
The whole show is not made clear. We think we're on the road. We think we're solving the. I mean, everything plays out like it does in the song.
Yeah,
everything plays out like the actual road is happening.
Yeah, they go through trials and
stuff.
They have these
trials. Some of them die. It's actually pretty high stakes.
Man, RIP, freaking Kitty from That 70s Show. She was in this. Her character. She was Sharon. Sharon Davis. Deborah Jarrub. Yes,
Mrs.
Hart, and also Mrs. Alice.
Hart was her WandaVision name. It's a big joke how. They keep Agatha keeps calling her Mrs. Hart, but her real name is Sharon Davis.
Yep,
and she just shows up with the witches to like hang out. She's just drunk.
She's like a normal, she's not a witch. She's a normal person.
She's just a normal
on the
person
road with
who
them.
Just happens to be having some wine. She's a wine mom, and Kitty's hilarious.
She's great.
The 70s show. Deborah Jo Rupp is hilarious.
Hilarious.
So, sadly, she leaves the show fairly early on.
Yeah, a very surprising early kill.
Yeah, she gets fucked up.
Yeah, if you ask me.
Yeah, the show actually has a surprising amount of stakes.
Yeah.
Most of the original crew ends up dying.
Yeah, two of them die.
Three if you count Mrs.
Oh,
Mrs.
man,
Hart.
Yeah, sure. Great episode. Well, the other one, Lilia.
Patti LaBelle. Yeah. She was actually, last time I saw her was Frank's mom in 30 Rock.
Patti LuPone? Yes. Yeah,
Patti LuPone, that's what it is.
Great Broadway singer, and I didn't know she was a Broadway singer.
Okay,
she was
amazing. That's where she's famous.
Yeah, makes sense.
She did
an
amazing job in this show.
Incredible job.
Okay, so we have these different trials. Each of these witches. It's not one of the cool things about the show is that the trials are not only they have a lot of witchy kind of stereotypes, and they play up a lot of witchy scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have like a potion brewing scene for the potions witch.
Yep.
But instead, they go like, "Oh, I need an eye of a newt and." Hair of something else, and it's just like common household items.
Yeah, and like, they wove it into also whatever the thing was.
Scales
of
fish, and it's just lipstick. Just go get me some flour from the pantry, and we'll be good.
I like how they still had each trial, like, you know, one trial was almost like a Desperate Housewives type scenario. Another one was like a scary 80s like,
it's multiple
house.
It's
yeah.
multiple what do you call it, they play with multiple not
genres
just,
and TV
not
shows.
Just the genre and the tease, kind of like how WandaVision did a little bit
very similar to
a little kind of similar, but yeah, there's one where it's kind of the Desperate Housewives or a Pretty Little Liars kind of vibe where it's like rich women who like, you know, have
wine,
yoga classes and they get together to drink wine and they have these super nice cardigans and like $200 haircuts.
And then they go to like the one where they had like their Disney characters. So they had like one that's like dresses
they're,
like Maleficent.
Cartoonish versions of like fairy tale witches.
Well, like, straight up he was Maleficent and then like she was
one of them
like,
was Maleficent. One of them was like the fairy godmother.
And then Agatha
one of them
was like,
the green witch from
Wizard
from
of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one looked like the OG witch from... from Snow White.
Oh yeah. The scary white haired
witch.
One. Yeah,
the evil witch from Snow White. And that again, so that was more of a mystical vibe.
Then they went to the 70s and that like
they had like 70s or slash 80s type show where they again So the, you see the whole, like, all of their clothes change. They all take on an 80s vibe or a fantasy vibe or whatever other calls vibe. For,
yeah.
Depending on what the specific situation calls for. You get both, right? At one point, you get the witchy scenes. Like, at one point, they ride a broom. Yeah. They kind of mock it and laugh about it. It's like, oh, this is a stupid stereotype about witches that most people believe. This is from witches, like, 300 years ago. So it's, like, kind of this send-up of witchy stereotypes. Very self-aware. Yeah. Where it's clever. Yeah. Right, it's a lot of cleverness.
I really
to
enjoyed
it.
That. Yeah,
or they have a tarot reading, right? They have a tarot reading or like a Ouija board.
A lot
right?
of tarot readings. Yeah,
yeah, a lot of Ouija board. These kind of things were like these traditional witchy things that you'd see in a Hocus Pocus, that you would see in a Halloween Town, other type of or the Charmed, right? Other types of shows. And it's just they just have fun with it.
It was a fresh take on it, and I like that. Like, we've seen these things before, we've seen these contraptions before, but like, it's their take on it, and how, again, it still played into the plot and moved the story forward.
It still
so,
played
yeah.
not into the plot, yeah. but into the character.
The character,
building,
sorry.
Right? And each of the forward. Trials yeah. again moves them all forward, but also moves each individual witch, kind of redeems her, kind of gives her a path forward. And sometimes they're cruel with it. Like, we have one of the witches, the Asian witch.
Yeah,
I can't remember her name.
Alice,
there we go. She has a curse. Her mom supposedly tried to go on the road her whole life because each generation of women in their family
was
cursed.
They're haunted by some, like, demon.
Yeah. And then they have, in her trial, she overcomes and defeats the demon by using the song, the witches wrote song, because her mom was that recorded a famous version of the witches wrote song, right? So it's like this whole backstory to it.
And then,
we have this Alice. Okay, so she moves on. She breaks the curse. She beats the demon. She fulfills her mom's destiny. And then next episode, she's killed.
Yeah, and an act of, you know, like, she was taking one for, well, she was taking
she
one
was
for
trying
the
to protect. She's a protect. And, yeah, she's a protection witch. Yeah. And though she tries to protect Agatha, and then boom, as soon as she uses her magic on Agatha to protect her, Agatha steals it. Yeah. And as soon as she steals the magic, she kills.
Going back, do you think Agatha kind of, I think looking at, watching that scene, I think Agatha for a little bit kind of felt bad, but was like, hey, this is what I do, so it's whatever.
I think she felt a little bad, and I think at the beginning she was losing her mind, she was scared, she was freaking out.
She didn't have powers, yeah.
Yeah, I think it just kind of happened a little bit.
Yeah, it felt like, it was like, oh no, but
I think Agatha had some, they showed her to be a more complex character.
Yeah, she's
very villainous. She's openly villainous early
on. She's got the mustache twirling stuff
down
too.
And it turns out,
yeah.
I mean, her plan early on, again, she invented the Witch's Road song. Her plan when she got this coven and like having the teen helping him, it was not to actually come in and help these witches go on the road. She knew the road wasn't real.
Yeah, she'd screw him over. That's
she
all
she knew
was,
the road
yeah.
was. She had made up the road.
Yeah.
Her plan was to get him to attack her, kill them all, and take power that way. That's how she was going to get her power back.
Just do that. Like, how
she was
doing?
She was just taking advantage of the teen. She was a full-on villain. Right, she's a full-on villain.
And I liked how, like, again, looking back now, I liked how she kind of played, like, hey, we now know that she's never been on the road, but she will act as though she's been on there. Remember when she got the lyrics on, it was like, with us too, but it was like, T-O, but like, 2-W. Like, little stuff where it kind of, like, gave
there
it
were,
away.
There were little signs
it was really
and
cool.
hints. You could tell, but it felt more like, oh, it's going to turn out she hadn't actually been on the road. You never really got the vibe that the road itself was fake.
Yeah, that's the cool, like, oh, that's some
And I mean,
Shyamalan
fake is a strong
type.
Word
yeah.
because, okay, so basically Wanda as a Scarlet Witch has power of creation. And
like
then teenager,
warping.
Who turned out to be Wanda's son, who is actually a pretty sad story where some kid on a bar mitzvah having a good time, young kid, dies and has an accident.
In a car accident, yeah.
Right as Wanda's hold over Westview, her magic field is. In fact, the magic field is what causes the accident because they get distracted by seeing it shrink. That's right when the kids and Vision are dying. Wanda's losing the little family she made. She's giving it up so that people can be free. And then since Billy's power is mind reading and mental powers, he basically takes this kid who just died in an accident, the 16-year-old kid that died in an accident. Just takes over his mind.
Yeah, like, and we see it. We see the kid, like, his heart stop. Like, you hear the heart go, like, faint, and then, like, sooner or later, like, Billy just is in there, and we're just like, oh.
And he calls out his brother's name.
Yeah.
Cool thing
really
is,
sad,
too,
actually,
he doesn't even know. He doesn't know that's what happened.
Yeah.
He doesn't have clear memories of it. He has amnesia. He just did it by accident, right?
Yeah,
he kinda, just has that much power. He was able to do this.
You know what's kind of crazy? Kind of like, as I've thought, kind of like how Agatha had been had to just play along in this whole thing. In this, he had to now play along in this other kid's life because he went back home. And was like, this isn't my life, but I have to like make sure his parents don't freak out and just play along and just be him for the next. They said like 3 years, and that's so nuts.
Multiple years. He never again. He never really knew who he was.
Yeah,
but he didn't. He never got his powers back. So anyway, at some point, he gets a hint from Patty from what was her name in the show?
From Lilia. Sorry,
Lilia. She gets a
at his bar mitzvah. She just
random fake fortune teller at his bar mitzvah, trying not to be actually be a witch, and kind of embarrassed or shamed by it. And
pays
then
the bills.
hiding from it, and then she's the one that gives him the sigil, so he can't say his name to anybody else, so he can't reveal who he is.
And like she didn't even know that she's the one that did it. It's like all these crazy time loop back stuff. It was like
there was a whole episode. Basically, she has the ability to see time out of order.
Yeah,
and then so we have a really cool time loop episode. It plays up there with, you know, anything Nolan would do.
It's really great.
Anything, any good time skip movie, any time skip TV episode. Always, there's only about 35 minutes, but it was brilliant.
It's really hard to do that because you're counting on the fact that you're able to like tie up, line up the seemingly loose end to the audience. Because to us, when Lilia calls it out, it's a loose end. We're like, why did she do that?
But it doesn't even seem like, it back. It seems a little bit early on, like she's kind of losing her mind, or like you can kind of tell she might be seeing visions or something.
I thought
like,
she was losing it.
Yeah, like you could tell like she had seen some visions. She had told Agatha which witches to bring with her. You could tell there was something, but she seemed to not be fully in control of it.
Yes, because some sounded like warnings almost.
It sounded a little bit loopy at times.
Yeah.
But then it's just cool because you don't really notice it or pay attention to it as it's happening. But then in the episode where it tells her side of the story and reveals everything, they go back and they show these little moments and these little scenes from the previous episodes that didn't feel like they were building up to anything or like they were any kind of mystery box, and they go, surprise, here's a twist. Here's a twist you didn't even realize could be coming.
And a lot of the times when she like gave that whole thing, that's it was straight up exposition. And in most other shows, I'll be like, oh my God, why are they doing this? But this way, they made the exposition make sense and actually help with the story and explain everything.
And help with the character building.
Exactly. It was actually brilliantly handled in that episode.
It did everything at once, where it helped with her character building, showing her life out of sequence, because we see the life as she's experiencing it, but then everybody else sees it disjointed. Like everybody else is experiencing it in sequence.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the last scenes of the episode is actually one of the first scenes that happened sequentially.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
and stuff like that. It's really clever, and it doesn't lose you. It doesn't lose you.
It could have. It's so easy to lose.
And then again, it's touching because you also go through her character growth. Of you see her back as a kid, literally hundreds of years ago, with her first teacher, learning her powers, and then her as an older woman now is talking to her teacher.
Yeah,
that where she was reading as a kid because again. The kid her saw her life out of sequence.
Right.
So kid her already had seen and experienced all this. And then so now it's going back and now she's, as an old woman, is trying to get her to be like, hey, help me make sense of this. My powers are flooding back. I had shut them off before. I had become a fraud and was doing fake tarot readings because I didn't want to be a part of this. Yeah. So help me make sense of it.
And her teacher not only helps her make sense of it, but the teacher gives her the strength to be like, no, you actually had this figured out. I was guiding you, but girl, you had it all figured out. Like, you got this. And like, I love how the teacher gave her that affirmation and she used that. And you know, her sacrifice, it wasn't a sad thing. It was like, hey, she completed her loop. That death was part of it. That death was part of her loop.
It was still devastating.
But it was a win. I think I still saw it as a win because she herself was like, hey, this is my purpose being fulfilled finally. I know what it is now. Nothing's out of sequence anymore.
She sacrificed herself out of kindness. Yeah. And her real, she got to control and was able to use her power for good.
Yeah. And nothing about that.
Instead of being afraid of it, you know, was a part of it where she had lost her coven because she had seen that they were all going to get ill. They were going to get an illness. Mm-hmm. But just because she had seen it and freaked out, she hadn't been able to do anything about it and everybody had died. Yep. So basically, she had just seen before they had died that they had died. And then they got to die in front of her, you know? Right.
So it was like double whammy. Like
obviously, yeah. the scar that took on her was devastating. It was just wonderful. Yeah. It was just wonderful the way they built up each of these characters. Even Aubrey Plaza, it's death, but it's not like a lame, like, she still has some death to it. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, it's like,
it's not just a supernatural force.
It's a personification of death, but, you know, you have an actress like Aubrey Plaza in the role. Like, you got to let her do Aubrey Plaza stuff. And, like, she definitely brought it to that role and just made it, it was crazy, sexy, weird, scary, all that stuff.
Evil laugh at the end was incredible.
Yeah, it's she's amazing. I'm glad the MCU has her in this role. Again, again, just to go to the end of it, just with I love how in this series was more about, you know, Agatha finally, you know, taking responsibility for like what's happening, what she's done over these years.
So basically, the backstory they revealed it in the last episode. The backstory, because everyone else thinks Agatha had a kid and that she basically traded the kid to death, basically killed her own kid for her evil powers, right? To take the Darkhold, the evil book Wanda has at the end of WandaVision, and it plays a big role in the Doctor Strange movie, Multiverse of Madness. Mm-hmm. So it plays a big role in that. So the story is what people think, and she doesn't even really fight it. She lets witches think she's this evil person who was capable of letting her own son die so she could get evil powers. And it turns out what actually happened, they don't fully give the backstory, but you know, hundreds of years ago, she's pregnant, she's running away from somebody, trying to give birth, and then suddenly, turns out she's dating and in a relationship with Aubrey Plaza, who is Death. So that's how extra Agatha Harkness is. She's literally dating
Death,
the embodiment of Death, the literal.
She's flirting witch, with Death,
the literal witch that comes when people die, and they show her when people die and takes them to the afterlife.
She was there for the kid. That's what she was there for, and Agatha had to beg her.
So she shows up,
yeah,
to take the kid, and then again they have a relationship, and literally Aubrey Plaza goes against everything she's supposed to, and gives the kid more time.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the backstory, and then later on, you know, it's nothing personal. Literally, if she gets a few years, and then Aubrey Plaza goes, okay, you know, you had your few years, and then that's it.
Yeah,
like she kid is still young, maybe like 8 years old, and that's the backstory. It's not any evil thing, but of course, at that point, then she started killing witches, accumulating power,
and that's what. And back to my point. Thanks for giving the backstory away. For that, but that's why I said this was a series about her kind of atoning for all that stuff. Yeah, again, with Scratch was unfortunate, but she still, you know, sucked the life force out of all these witches, and now she kind of atoned for it. But I thought was really, really heartbreaking in the end was the fact that like she couldn't cross. She ended the series as like this spectral ghost with white hair or whatever,
like a force ghost.
Yeah, that's like gonna be with Billy, but she couldn't really cross over because she couldn't face Scratch.
So that was before. That was, like, she didn't want to face Death. She didn't want to do all this stuff because, she just couldn't face her own kid.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very poignant. Yeah.
It was poignant in a way, but there was a part of it that the finale didn't quite work for me. The finale didn't quite work for me in that, I don't know, it just seemed that there was never any clear reason why she went evil.
Why who went evil?
Why Agatha? Why she was killing all these witches?
I think she, to me, it's just that, the ability to steal power, to draw power, she was banished out of a coven initially we saw in WandaVision because she could do that. She had that chip on her shoulder the whole time. Even her mom in this show was like giving her a hard time as a ghost. So it's like, it wasn't evil. She was kind of just fed up with people not letting her do her thing, but it's still evil what her thing was. So
I mean, I don't know. It might have seemed sense if her kid had died and then she had turned evil to like try to bring him back or something. But it just seemed like she was evil before she had the kid. She was evil with the kid, even just going around killing witches, just telling the kid openly, like, yeah, we just kill witches. You even helped me do it. Just like help me distract them and, you know, kind of act as bait so I can kill them. And then after the kid dies, it's like, oh, now I have a whole new way by tricking people with this road song.
Yeah, let's keep doing it.
Killing witches. It's like, but you were already killing witches. It just, I don't know. It just seemed like it should have... It should have been a turning point for her. Her son dying or something. Like that's like her, like the point where she turned evil or something.
Right.
But instead, it just seems more... Or like that was her motivation or something. It just never really was clear what her motivation for killing all these witches was, other than her just was evil.
I think the motivation was just power. Her lust for power and just being on top. And
yeah, but again, that's just like...
It's a tale of time.
If you're not trying to do anything with the power, then like, well, you just want to accumulate power just for the sake of
accumulating
power.
I think she wanted... Well, she wanted to be top witch, so and now that the Darkhold is no longer there, now that there seems to be a vacuum.
Like she's a more full character if you give her... something to want the power for. Like, we're supposed to have a redemption arc for her, but frankly, you know, she just kind of becomes nice because this kid, Billy, reminds her of her son and becomes like a surrogate son for her.
Yeah.
And though she kind of warms her heart, but she never really, like, towards the end, finally, she makes a selfless choice, and instead of sacrificing the kid, decides to sacrifice herself and makes out with Aubrey Plaza, which is a great way to sacrifice yourself.
But which,
great way to sacrifice yourself.
It's a
yourself
sacrifice
to death.
She never would have done in 500 years. So it's like, yeah, that's the development that we're looking for. Like, she got to a point where she's willing to actually do it.
Then immediately afterwards, she comes back as a force ghost and goes like, this was part of my gamble. Like,
but she's being an asshole. That's just her thing.
But I mean, like, she is there. Everybody else died, right? Everybody else who dead, death, but took, the, died. She's not a body, but she's still there. She gets to still do stuff. She still gets to be with Billy and be curious and do other stuff.
But the way they explain why a ghost can't go unless a ghost, even her mom explained it, like, I'm here because I have unfinished business. Her unfinished business is Billy and helping Billy find his brother is what I'm assuming is why she's still here.
I suppose, but I don't know. It just seemed like it undercut the sacrifice. It just felt like the series would have ended better if it ended at the end of the seventh episode.
Oh, the penultimate episode. Okay. Yeah. I like that we got the backstory for
Nicholas Scratch. I did love the backstory. I did love the backstory. One other thing, too, is the one witch who survived, other than Agatha
and
Billy.
The one that flew away? Yeah, yeah.
The priestess. What's her name? The black chick. The black chick that looks like Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah. Jennifer Kale.
That's her real name?
No,
Jennifer Kale is her show name.
Sasheer Zamata is the actress name. She's on SNL. Hilarious actress, so did a great job.
Yeah, she was great in this.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of the comic relief.
Yeah, yeah.
She was fantastic. But at the end, they did a big scene where it's like, one with the tarot reading, it was Lilia telling her, hey, you're like the priestess. You're going to like play this big role going forward. And then she finally gets her powers back.
Yeah,
a big thing
big
where
deal,
she had
yeah.
been lost her powers for years. And
yeah,
then she
a
has
big
a,
deal. Yeah.
You know, a very therapeutic release scene where she gets her powers back. Turns out Agatha had accidentally been the one that originally caused them to be stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Not on purpose.
Yeah, just had a hand in it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how she was able to get her release. But then she just kind of flies away and exits, and then we just don't see
her again. You don't see her again. She just goes off.
She has no role in the finale. At one point, it seemed like she was going to be like kind of the person that saved them from death or something.
I can see that. Like, she kind of swooped in like Han Solo come in.
Yeah, it just seemed like even Lilia said, like, oh, you have this big role to play. You're the priestess, right? Priestess obviously implying some kind of holy force of good. And then, just that never went anywhere with it.
Right.
And, you know, with Marvel, with all these random characters that leave on the final episode showing up, you know, it's very possible we're not going to see her again for like 2 years, if at all. You know, we still haven't seen Shang-Chi again.
I'm still mad about that.
In anything.
I love
that guy. We
haven't
seen Charlize Theron. We haven't seen...
that's not going to happen.
Hercules. We haven't seen all these people. So there's just another character at this point that... It felt like most of the story was fairly self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that a lot, actually.
Yeah, that was a big plus. Like, it was, they told this linear story with these characters here in this small area. It had some, I guess, larger implications, if you want to say that, I guess, for it other shows. Have some
just because of Billy and being related to Wanda and his powers.
And now stuff. Agatha has been a force ghost now, which is
kind of cool. So there's some stuff there, but for the most part, it was fairly self-contained. You only really need to watch WandaVision.
Definitely watch WandaVision.
To keep up with anything going on here. You know, even if you're not an MCU fan, if you're just a fan of witchy shows, Halloween shows, that kind of vibe. My wife loved it. Well, it was my wife's favorite MCU show easily. It's a very gay show. It's a very gay energy.
No, it definitely knows what it is.
And it's not Disney gay where they say, oh, we have a big gay moment, and then it's just one guy vaguely mentioning that he likes men.
They have characters that are gay and have aren't gay relationships.
The only guy character is clearly
it's Billy,
like very clearly gay. Like dresses gay, has a boyfriend, makes gay comments.
But it's not his identity. Is it? He has other stuff going on. No, it's not his main identity. But he has other stuff too.
But he's clear and comfortable. Yeah. He's not hiding it at all.
Yeah, and it's not
ambiguous. This is a guy that happens to be gay, but. If you saw him on the street, you wouldn't know. No, he is very clear.
No, it's just
the way he dresses, the way he acts.
It's how it is on the show.
Rest of the women, I mean, obviously the big relationships between Agatha and Aubrey Plaza.
There was another guy on the show. We actually had a boner sighting, Ralph Boner, Evan Peters.
Evan Peters.
In a small bit role. You know, yeah.
I forgot.
Small bit role for that. I like seeing him come back. Yeah.
If I had a nickel for every time Evan Peters had been in a Marvel property, where they made excellent use of the song Time in a Bottle.
You have 10 cents.
I would have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
I loved how they used that to, like, you know, talk about Lilia's character, but also, come on, we have Evan Peters, Quicksilver.
Come on, if you know, you know. If you know, you know. It's one of those things where it's not obvious. It's obviously not clear.
You got to think about it.
Yeah. But it's the most famous use of that song in any other popular media of the past, what, decade?
Yeah.
Right? It's a song from the 80s or 70s.
No, from the 70s. So it's Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle, for those who are talking about. And X-Men Days of Future Past, which is 10 years old this year, Quicksilver, played by Evan Peters, has a scene where he saves James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender's characters, Magneto and Professor X, in like this facility, in like a jail facility, and he slows down time. And it's incredible use of like slow-mo footage with him moving in regular. It was really cool. Since then, it's been parodied and used, and everyone's been trying to recreate it.
There was also the cleverness of having him play Quicksilver in WandaVision. That was when we thought that was going to be the intro to the X-Men.
Or a fake-out. He's actually just an actor.
That was an awesome fake-out.
Incredible fake-out.
That was a real-life fake-out where the characters wouldn't have known, but just the fact that he was...
The audience knew.
Like, he had previously played Quicksilver in a totally different property.
Yeah.
It was a very meta joke on the audience.
Yeah.
But, I thought that was a fun little thing that they brought back Time in a Bottle.
Definitely cool.
Very, cool usage. Very niche Easter egg, but it's the kind of thing where if you've been watching these movies, you keep track of all of them. It's a fun little thing they throw in for you.
Yeah. But overall, I love this show. Love this entry.
Overall, I love what it represents for the MCU, right? It's just kind of, it just feels like a release of the expectation that, like, hey, we're going to have this big, huge shared world where everything plays and is connected into each other. Like, right, this is a sequel to WandaVision.
Right.
Obviously, we had Doctor Strange and stuff, and we have... There's some references to the end of Doctor Strange as to Wanda being alive or not.
Yep.
But other than really just watching a recap or, like, quick watching it, you know, it's not the kind of thing you have to watch. Remember a bunch of specific details. It's very self-contained.
Yep.
Very low stakes. And not in a bad way. Like, the stakes are very serious for the characters, but it's not... Oh, here's
the
this,
world. The world isn't
this, here's
large,
this world-ending stakes, or how do these stakes affect completely unrelated characters that we still care about? Like, this doesn't affect Spider-Man in any way,
right?
This doesn't affect Captain America. This doesn't affect It's not like the Eternals, where a big statue comes out of the middle of the earth, you know, obviously causing earthquakes and all this stuff, and then everybody just ignores what happens.
Seemingly doesn't even mention it for like 5 years.
Yeah, it doesn't occur to anybody to like pay attention to it. right? So it just feels very disconnected and disjointed.
Yeah.
This feels okay. We're having follow ups, but now we got a little WandaVision series, right? So yeah, there's a follow up to that. So it's like a season two to that, but it's not the kind of thing where, oh, well, I didn't watch Echo and I didn't watch Daredevil, Deadpool versus Wolverine, so now yeah, I can't watch.
Definitely cool. You're able to come into this kind of fresh. I still say watch WandaVision before this is kind of a cool little precursor.
Some of the big yeah. twists land a lot better if you know yeah. what's going on with WandaVision.
But no, just kudos to Marvel, Disney Plus shows, and hey, this is a great way to, you know, going into What If now with this year and going into next year. I have a really good feeling about Marvel Disney Plus series. So this has been a great series so far.
This is a much better way of doing it than just. I mean, before they were basically making movies and cutting them up into six episodes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of getting annoying.
Yeah. It wasn't just annoying. It was bad. Yeah. The pacing was off.
You could tell, okay, you just cut this because you know there's going to be another episode next week.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't quite feel like putting it in an effort to make this into a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just made it cheaper and extended it so it would kind of make sense as a TV show. It was bad. Yeah. Secret Invasion was the low point, obviously.
But this one, they're definitely in a step in the right direction. So, hey, I'm definitely a fan of this. And, definitely catch Agatha All Along on Disney Plus if you have a subscription. But definitely check it out. And WandaVision and all the other stuff they have coming up from Marvel Disney Plus, because you and I are Marvel shills, as you can tell.
I've been mostly shitting on them recently, yeah. but this was this I give great. It a very solid B+.
Yeah. I definitely give it an A-. Definitely, it's not WandaVision is a solid A, but this is definitely up there as strong entry from Marvel Disney Plus.
And almost honestly, I kind of want to give it an A- too. It just almost feels a little too. I don't know, almost cheap.
I got you. I don't know. I love the set design, costumes, but also the road was actually a real road they're walking on. It wasn't it wasn't the volume. It was like they were actually on a road.
I don't know. It felt great. A little too. Reminded me of stuff like Vampire Diaries and stuff.
I definitely got a bit of a
CW
vibe. I got hints of the movie Hocus Pocus, really, just from the sets and how it looked, but not in a bad way.
I don't know.
Nostalgic.
Maybe I'm just being discriminatory towards it. It almost feels like I'm not allowed to give it a higher score.
No, that's fine. It's just whatever your score is.
Does that make sense?
Your score is your score,
man. I'm gonna change my score. I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 5 witches.
It's like. I definitely give this one a 9.5 broomsticks out of 10 broomsticks. It just hit all the stuff that I like about what just Disney Plus does on these shows with characters, how they do with stuff with Easter eggs and making stuff like Mystery Box up. It did all that stuff that we loved about WandaVision in the first place that made us tune into these shows. It's kind of like almost like a coming back true to form of this stuff. So definitely is a must watch. And kudos to everyone involved in this show, but
kudos indeed. One of the better MCU showings.
Yeah, but hey,
on TV,
this has been great, Juan. This has been a great episode, man.
Episode. So,
cheers, double cheers.
Plug of the week, guys.
Real quick, plug of the week. Plug of the week because I had from last week was I wanted to do this thing called on Ultraman. So Ultraman was Ultraman, for some of y'all that aren't familiar with it, it's like a Japanese series about kind of like Power Rangers, essentially like a Power Ranger type character like in a suit. So Ultraman had I can show you a little picture of him, Juan, if you
sorry, you can keep going.
Know if you've heard of it. Like you've probably seen this somewhere. You've seen that, right? Yeah. So kind of like how Shin Godzilla got its own little revamp. Shin Ultraman is a movie that came out actually 2 years ago that I have no entryway into Ultraman. I remember watching a little episode as a kid, but this kind of it reminded me a lot of Shin Godzilla, not just in name, but just how they went. It's like Ultraman, but like a darker, almost grittier take on it. And it's actually in a series that actually kind of makes sense now of Shin Godzilla and also Shin Kamen Rider, the same people that made those kind of built upon it. So basically just real quick, it's just about kaiju that are kind of descending upon Japan, and this hero Ultraman, this giant silver robot thing from outer space comes and, you know, fights with them, and like they have these pilots that could like mentally like almost like Pacific Rim kind of sort of what Pacific Rim took from this, like kind of like can link together and fight the robot, the giant kaiju. It's amazing. I love kaiju movies. I love stuff like that, big giant Power Ranger-esque monster fight. So yeah, loved it. I was able to see it just on like a V downloader. I was able to download like some torrents. I finally learned how to download torrents recently. So Shin Ultraman was like one of the first ones that I downloaded, and you know, I loved it. I love Shin Godzilla. If you love Shin Godzilla, you definitely love Shin Ultraman. Just check that out. I don't think it's on any streaming service currently. Again, I got this as like a torrent, but if you can get it, I highly recommend it. So that's been my plug of the week.
Cozy encouraging us to sail the seven seas, y'all.
R-M-A-T. How about you, Juan? What's your plug?
So, strange plug for me.
Strange plug.
I want to plug an app.
What?
I'm
going to
plug the Nintendo.
Did you make this app, Juan?
No, I did not make this app.
Juan didn't develop.
It's called the Nintendo Music app. It's a new streaming service. Music.
Okay.
It's they would call it a full streaming service. Basically, Nintendo released an app, kind of like Apple Music or Spotify, that is just for Nintendo tracks, right?
Okay.
Like, and I'm talking about like original video game, like not like remixes or. I mean, so they have some remixes.
So I can play. I can play like the opening, select screen music from Mario 3.
Actually, specifically in this case, no, because they don't have every game.
Oh, okay.
But you can play the opening theme from Mario 1.
Super Mario Brothers 85.
Or Mario Galaxy.
Okay, that's
or
cool.
Or Mario Odyssey. Or Metroid. They actually have some like deep cuts. They
oh,
have,
not
like,
just Mario, but just all Nintendo.
Yeah, they have like
properties.
Nintendo dogs on there.
Oh, cool.
Nintendo dogs.
I bet their Legend of Zelda stuff is
they have
great.
A couple of Legend of Zelda games. Not all of them.
Not all of them, okay.
It's the kind of thing where they're clearly going to build up. They don't want to release everything at once.
Okay, they're launching it.
They just launched it this week.
Okay.
I think on like Thursday or Friday.
Dude, nice.
One really cool feature I like with it is that almost video game music is a little loop, right? Like playing a level and it just loops like a 1 minute track until you beat the level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. So this, to kind of play into that, it'll have a feature where you can extend the song, get an extended version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like just repeating the song, right? It's not like simply putting the song on repeat. Like it literally, you know how like a song has like a little startup and then it fades out at the end, or like a song might have that,
right?
Like it have like a little beginning intro and then it gets into like the loop of the level.
Right.
So that's how the song will work, right? You'll have like the little beginning, like 3 seconds where the song starts up, and then it'll have the looping portion for the rest of the 15 minutes. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay, so you kind of get the whole song.
It kind of converts the song from like a 1 minute thing to a 15 minute thing that just keeps looping, right? And then you can play a different song. Like it'll play a song after that, so you're gonna have a playlist of multiple 15 minute long songs. You just play something for a little while, and then you play something else for a little while.
Okay, I see what you mean.
And again, it feels different from simply looping it, because like with looping, you hear like the beginning and the end of the song, so it's clearly like, oh, the song started again. This feels more like. Like you're actually listening to the video game music, you're just leaving the stage music on while you're playing, and then you're listening to it. You know, great for working, concentrating, anything. Video game music is great for getting you pumped up and focused.
So this is called the Nintendo Music app.
Yeah, Nintendo Music. You need a Switch Online membership to get it. They'll probably change that over time.
I hope so.
To be fair, Switch Online by itself isn't that bad. It's like $25 a year.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But obviously, it's not a ton of selection. It's just Nintendo songs.
Okay.
It's not like Disney Plus, where they eventually had Hulu and other stuff. Clearly just going to be whatever songs are from the games Nintendo releases.
All right. Well, hey, yeah. I'll check that out. Hey, listeners, check that out too when you get the chance. So that's been the plug of the week. Juan, this has been great, man. Seriously. Glad we were able to collaborate, talk about some Marvel stuff. Actually, talk glowingly about Marvel for once. So, Yeah, so I thank you, Juan, for joining us. And I thank you, listeners. Seriously, all of you guys that listen to us every week. So once again, you catch us on Spotify and also on YouTube. We're actually setting up our social media, so you look out for that, where you can find just clips for our shows, little like funny videos we'll have. We're gonna have that stuff going, not just this year, not just starting now, but going into the next year, 2025. Big stuff coming out. So once again, you can also find us again on Spotify under the name It Was Mooney. And I've been Kosi, and I've been joined always by Juan AB. And until next time, guys, adios.
Adios, y'all.